All right, praise the Lord. Good to see y'all here this evening. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, God is good.
God is good all the time. Song of praise. In this heart of mine, God is good. All the time, through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. All the time, God is good. All the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear. Guide you, He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. Sinners, so unworthy, still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit, now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of
known, I found in the grace that flows.
Amen. No, we can, but normally there's a song that plays. It's not playing. Okay, we can skip it. Oh, yeah, we can try it, sure. Okay. I lift my voice, a song of praise, and my hands to you I raise. But more than just a song that my heart sings, more than all the praises that I bring, I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself. This is my offering. I lift my voice, a song of praise, and my hands to you I raise. But more than just a song that my heart sings, more than all the praises that I bring, I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself, this is my offering. And I could give you all my prized possessions, all my houses and my lands, everything I hold here in my hands. There is nothing that I own I could lay here at your feet. No greater sacrifice that I could bring. I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring
than to give myself. This is my offering. I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself. This is my offering. Than to give myself. This is my offering.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. Yonder I'll be there. On that bright lit cloud this morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, for the Master from the dawn till setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, yonder I'll be there.
Amen.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Please welcome Pastor Steve.
That one. That was pretty good, though. Amen. Thank you for the new song. I mean, maybe I sang it years ago, but I don't. Does anybody remember that song? You remember it? Have we sung it before? Okay. You know it. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, all right. Well, very good. Well, good to see each and every one of you tonight. I hope you're having a good night. Are you cold? You got one blanket here. Y'all cold back there? You got a jacket on. You cold? Not yet. Well, but I guess bump it up. I got a few with blankets on. You can bump it up just a little bit. No, just maybe 2 degrees. There you go. All right. And then we'll freeze you out on this side. This will be the cold side over here. Warm side over there. That's right. Amen. Well, we do want to take some prayer requests. Brother Bill Neal was having difficulty breathing today there at Kindred, and they had to take him back to the hospital. HCA, Northwest Cypress, something. Yeah, so they took him back there and put in a new trach, and so he's back at Kindred. So be in prayer. Did you find him in 307? There you go. He was there. George, never would have guessed that. George Bill Neal. You hear Bill, you think William, right? Yeah, George William Neal, they call him Bill. Never would have guessed that. Now we know. All right. Very good. He looks like a Bill to me. Look like a Bill to you? Yeah. George it is. All right. All right, all right. And then Jack Redfern, pastor at Plantersville Baptist Church. We had talked about this some weeks, probably a good 6 weeks back. He was diagnosed with a bunch of clogged arteries in his heart. The widowmaker was clogged and couldn't put any stents in and needed open heart surgery. But he's diabetic and his A1C was off the chart. So he had to get his A1C down. He got it down from 10 point something down to 6.1. Is that good? That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, he told me that today and I was like, well, that sounds good. And said, yeah, they're going to do the surgery in the morning. So be in prayer for him. We'll pray for him in a little bit, Jack Redfern. And it's not the quadruple bypass. It's the quintuple bypass. So he's having the 5 bypasses in the morning. So, yeah, pray for him, Jack Redfern. And what else you got tonight? Prayer. Yes, ma'am, Miss Vicki. Angie Adams. And this is what kind of cancer? Pancreatic or gallbladder? They're not quite sure at this point. They don't know. All right, Angie Adams. All right, all right. What else? What else? Who? Jerry. Okay, Jerry Paul. All right. So that's all of his names? Yeah, okay. You know, normally you don't throw the middle name in there unless somebody's in trouble, you know. So I was thinking, well, maybe he's got a fourth name. No, it's just a 3. All right, Jerry Paul Burrow. And what's going on with him? Oh. How old is he? Oh, my. Okay. 74, COVID-19. Does it say it was a Delta? Don't know. Didn't say anything about that. Where's he at? Where's he living? Okay. Lives in Tomball. Oh. Okay, he's in St. Louis, COVID-19 and pneumonia. All right, what else? What else? Yes, ma'am. What cancer did she have? Oh, wow. Was it colon cancer? No. Carcinoma? Carcinoid? But cancer, she had cancer surgery. Cancer surgery. And she's home. She's home now? Pray for recovery. Okay, okay. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me your mama's name again. Jeanette. Just pray for her emotions. How old is Jeanette now?
82.
Yeah. But she won't sell and move in with nobody. No. She ain't giving up the homestead. No. Not giving up mowing the grass. No. All right. Jeanette. She gave up weeding? Weed eating.
That's my job.
That's your job. That's why you go up there every other week, huh? All right. Very good. Yeah, half acre lakefront property. Yeah. So you're going around everything. Yeah. But I bet the trees are pretty. Yeah. They'll work you to death. Amen, amen. What else? You got one on the computer there? All right, buddy. That's right. And then Pat got her ankle boot off. Yeah. Ankle boot off. She's had a migraine for 2 days. 2 days. And then Ann Redmond. Bronchitis. And let's see here, Fred, nerve block. Nerve block. What else? Anything else on the online back there? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Jason and Shannon Landry, and they just lost their son. How old? 15. What happened? Took his life. Okay. And then Tish Gorman's cancer. And stage what you said? 4. Is she under hospice yet? Okay. Is she open to receiving Christ? Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, right. Well, I mean, yeah, you just... Yeah. All right, Tish Gorman, cancer, pray for salvation or security. Curie, Jason Shannon Landry, lost son, 15. What else? Yes, sir, John. Pray for Cuba. They don't want what? The Cubans don't? Okay. Socialism. All right. Pray for Cuba. Pray for Haiti. Haiti's like the wild, wild west if you ain't ever been there. And they just lost their president was gunned down by a Floridian. He was the kingpin of the whole deal. American put a team together and went over there and killed that president. Unbelievable. All right, pray for Haiti and their transition of power. There's some sweet people over in Haiti. There's sweet people everywhere, but there's certainly some in Haiti. Transition of power, Haiti. What else? Anything? Is that it? You hanging tough? Huh? Yeah. All right. Granddaughter went... Gwyneth. Is that the little girl? All right. Gwyneth. All right, Gwenny. In New York. Boston. Boston, Brother John. She's in Boston. Yeah. Y'all remember Bob Parker? Do you remember? Has anybody heard from Bob? Remember Bob Parker? Yeah. Said he went to Florida. I can't find him. Anybody Facebook friends with him? No. You know, he talked about having leukemia, remember? Just kind of wondering how he's doing. Been a few years since he's been here. Bob Parker. All right. Motorcycle riders, who, what, when, where? Your kids? Now, did they really ride those motorcycles all the way out there? Are you sure they didn't ride those to the U-Haul place and ride them up in a U-Haul and then drive the U-Haul to Colorado and then back them out of the U-Haul and say, look, Mom, look what we did. You sure? What happened? Oh. About then, the motorcycle ride's not fun no more. So this is... They say, we're having a great time. Yeah. So, because when you roll... Have you ever been on a motorcycle when it's raining? Has anybody ridden a motorcycle while it's raining? Am I the only one? It feels like you're being shot with a pellet gun. Yeah. Every time a drop of water hits you, it feels like somebody just shot you with a pellet gun. And then the bugs. You ever get a bug in the eye? Anybody? Bug in the eye? Motorcycle? Yeah? No? All right. Vicky. Hubbard. Hubbard's his first name. That's Vicky's husband. Bobby. Oh, my soul. Oh, my. Is he on a tricycle or a full motorcycle? Okay, that makes me feel better. Casey gets that other eye dotted. Man. E. Hubbard. How long are they going to be there? My goodness, okay. Motorcycle. What are they going to... Okay. Motorcycle ride, Colorado. All right, all right. All right, we get it covered? Let's hear them. Get out of here. That 6.1 is the, that 6 point is the deal, huh? You get down to that 6 point, you're doing good. All right. Are you going to stay on your diet? Okay. What did you change that you think that brought it down the most? No sweets? So no donuts on Sunday morning. Oh, man. All right, well, I'm eating Miss Bicky's donut. All right. All right. A1C. And then Sharon. Sharon's grandson. And this is Alan. And how old's Alan? 14. Saved at youth camp. Yeah, church camp. Well, we're going to have another baptism in here Sunday. Little Hunter Hanzik is going to go through with it. So that's great. And you're saying Alan's been baptized? Okay. So he's already been initiated. All right, Alan 14, salvation. That's great. Vicky's A1C. No more diabetes medicine. Nothing. Wow. Do you put anything in your coffee? Oh, man. Okay. Well, that'd be tough. No sweets. You eat pasta? Okay. Well, that makes it easy right there. All right. Well, y'all want to lift these up with us? Pray for these things as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Lord, for the continued rain that you have given us, Lord, and we're thankful that it's spread out enough that it's not causing any kind of major flooding around here. But, Lord, we're thankful for the days where it's not 100 degrees or 103 or 104, we're thankful that it's in the 90s or the 80s. And God, we just praise you and thank you for that. It's so nice to not cook in the heat, so to speak. So Lord, we praise you and thank you for the current weather pattern, as wet as it's been. Lord, we come to you tonight. We lift up these requests to you. We lift up Brother Bill to you. We pray for his continued health and healing. Lord, we pray you get his body ready to receive those cancer treatments. We pray that cancer in his throat would not grow, that it would even now begin to shrink, that cancer in his lungs would not grow, but even now would begin to shrink. And Lord, as he receives those cancer treatments, it would just shrink even more, and Lord, he'd be cured of cancer. We're just lifting Brother Bill up to you for that. Lord, we pray for Brother Jack Redfern, faithful pastor and minister of the Word and of the Lord. And Father God, we just pray your healing hand upon him as he goes under the knife tomorrow for open heart surgery. We pray for the anesthesiologist. We pray for the surgical team. We pray for the surgeons. Lord, everyone that's going to be having a hand on Brother Jack, we just pray they take especial good care of him. And Lord, we just lay him at your feet and pray, God, that you give him back to us tomorrow afternoon with a better heart. God, we pray you just touch his heart and bring healing to it through this surgery. We lift up Angie Adams to you tonight, Lord, and we're praying for this pancreatic or gallbladder cancer in these 5 or 6 months she's been given to live. Lord, we know that that's not beyond you. We know that's not beyond a miracle. We know that's not beyond a miraculous healing. God, if it be thy will that you touch Angie and bring healing to her, and Father God, we lift Angie up to you. Lord, if it be thy will that you're calling her home, then Lord, we pray you give her the grace and the mercy and the strength to withstand what she's got to withstand. Watch over her, Lord. Be with her every step of the way. And Father God, may she lean upon you. We lift up Jerry Burrow to you tonight, Lord. This COVID-19 senior adult suffering in the hospital with this, with pneumonia. We pray you touch his body, heal his lungs. And Lord, we pray that he not take a turn for the worse, but he just each and every day get a little better, Lord. Restore his strength. And Lord, we pray that those lungs would not be damaged. We lift up Josie Hess to you. And Lord, we pray that this cancer surgery that she has undergone, we pray that the cancer is gone, that Lord, there'd be no more recurrence of the cancer in her body and in her life. We pray for a recovery, a good recovery, Lord. Just give her strength, give her what she needs, Lord, to get through this. And Father God, we just pray you give her a testimony of healing on the backside of this. Lord, we pray for James's mother tonight, Jeanette. We just pray for her wisdom. We pray for her emotions, Lord. We pray that you help Jeanette come to that point where she's not afraid to ask for help. Lord, she's not afraid to maybe let the place go, Father God, and move in with an adult child or move into an assisted living or something like that. Father God, we just pray you give her great wisdom and discernment, trying to figure all of that out in the twilight of her life. But we pray for her emotions. We pray for her wisdom. Lord, we do praise you tonight that Miss Pat is out of that boot. And Lord, just seems to be like she's got spring back in her step. Lord, we pray that ankle would be everything it's supposed to be now after the second surgery. We pray, Lord, for her migraine, that thing would begin to ease and begin to dissipate and begin to go away this evening as she goes to bed. We lift up Brother Paul to you tonight, Lord, and we just pray that you would help him with this biopsy that he's going to go through tomorrow morning. Lord, we pray this biopsy does not show any kind of cancer, that, Lord, this is a definitive, straightforward answer, that when they get the results back, there will not be any cancer involved in that biopsy. Lord, we just lift them up, give them safety as they travel back and forth from that procedure tomorrow. We lift up Ann Redmond to you with this bronchitis, and we pray, Lord, you'd heal her up. We're thankful that it's not COVID, but Lord, we pray that you would heal her lungs up and heal her body up. We lift up Fred, and we pray for his pain management from this nerve block. We pray that this nerve block would do what it was designed to do for his back and for his body. And then, Lord, we lift up Loopy's request to you tonight. First of all, we pray for her little granddaughter, Gwyneth. We pray for her safety in Boston. And, Lord, we pray for her traveling mercies as she gets ready to come home for the school year. We lift up Tish Gorman to you, suffering with cancer, Lord, stage 4. We pray for her salvation, pray that she would have security of the believer, that, Lord, she wouldn't depend upon a priest, or she wouldn't depend upon Mary, but, Lord, she would place all her faith and her trust in the wonderful person of Jesus, God. We pray that she, if she doesn't know Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, we pray that you would use Loopy and other Christians to just sow the seeds of salvation in her life and in her heart, Lord, and just get her to that place where she has that security of the believer. We lift up Jason and Shannon Landry to you tonight, the loss of their 15-year-old son. Father God, comfort them. Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit be in the midst of that marriage and just in the midst of that home, and bring comfort to them, and Lord, help them as they go through the different stages of grief, and Lord, all of the questions that going on, and all the anxiety, and all the what-ifs and everything that they're dealing with, Lord, I just pray that in all of that, they would lean upon you. They would find solace and strength and rest for their souls in you at the end of the day, God. Be with that family and be with that situation. Lord, we do lift up Cuba and Haiti. And Lord, the struggles that both of these small, tiny little countries are experiencing, Lord, we pray that in the midst of that, your perfect will would prevail for each of those countries. And Lord, there'd be freedom for Cuba, and there'd be a smooth transition for this little island nation of Haiti. Watch over these folks, Lord. Be with them, and we lift them up before you this evening. Lord, we pray for Bobby and Vicky and Hubbard as they have departed and have arrived in Colorado. We pray for their safety, Lord, as they're up there at that motorcycle rally. Give them safety as they make the transition and the travel back. Lord, watch over them, make their path straight. We just pray a hedge of protection around them. And Lord, just keep them safe as they come back to Texas. We're thankful, Lord, that Miss Vicky, through discipline and through self-denial, is able to get off her blood pressure medicine. Lord, she's done things that I am unable to do. And Lord, I just pray that I might be able to learn from her how to put better things in my own body. Well, Lord, we're thankful for Miss Vicky's A1C and the strides that she's making in her health, even this time of her life. Lord, we're thankful for that. And then, Lord, we're lifting up Sharon's grandson to you tonight, Alan. We're thankful for his salvation. We're so thankful, Lord, that these kids are receiving Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We're thankful when young adults do it, senior adults, median adults. Thank you, Lord, that you still save. We know the gospel is true. We know it's still active and it's still alive. And, Lord, we're thankful for little Hunter's salvation and his baptism that we get to experience this coming Sunday, Lord. We pray it be a blessed time and a wonderful event for our church. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, let's try to punch on through some of this Revelation chapter 13. Those of you with us online, we're in chapter 13 of Revelation, the book of Revelation, verses 1 and 2 is what we're going to try to knock out tonight. We've started it, verses 1 and 2. And we want to try to get through it. Now, you'll remember we've got this unholy Trinity, right? Unholy Trinity. And so this unholy Trinity is kind of the devil's attempt to kind of mock or, you know, try to be like the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So here in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and 13, we see the unholy Trinity. We have the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Here in chapter 12 through 13 in the book of Revelation, we see the unholy. So you've got Satan. He represents a poor facsimile of God the Father. And then he has this thing called the Antichrist. This is the beast that has come out of the sea. All right, so you got Satan. And then you got the Antichrist, right? And then thirdly, you have the false prophet. The false prophet is another beast that comes out of the land, all right? So that gets you your unholy Trinity. And we began unpacking that and covering that in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. I'll read these couple verses to you. It says, "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore." This is representative of the devil, the dragon. "Then I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority." We talked about Sunday, how God the Father did what? How God the Father, sometime in eternity past, which is kind of a bad statement because we're talking eternity. Somewhere in eternity, let's say it that way, God the Father turned over, right? Turned over everything to the Son, okay? turn down everything to the Son, right? Jesus, right? So Jesus is the what? Jesus is the final authority, so to speak, right? Well, that's what the devil is doing here. He's just trying to mock. It's an unholy trinity. He's trying to make it look like he's some kind of a God, which he's not. The devil is not what? He's not omnipotent, all-powerful. He's not omniscient, all-knowing. And he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere, okay? So he's not the creator God. He puts on airs here in the book of Revelation, here in the end times, here after the rapture of the church, in the 7 years of tribulation. He puts on airs, the devil does, like he is a God, having his own antichrist and all of that jazz. So we kind of introduced that. We were talking about how he originates. That was verse 1. And then we got to, 2 weeks ago, how he operates. That was the second half of verse 1 and through verse 2, the first part of it. Now, we said last time when we were looking at this, these verses give us a little insight into this man called what? The Antichrist. The symbolic language tells us something about what kind of a man he is, and also something about the nature of the kingdom that he will rule. And like the one who possesses him, right? The one who possesses him, the horns, the heads, and the diadems bear a what? Bear a family resemblance, okay? So like Satan is like the Antichrist. So the two are similar in nature. Now, we've got Jesus, who's born of a virgin, right? And created by the Holy Spirit, right? Born of a virgin. Not so with the Antichrist. He's going to be born just like me and you in sin, right? But there's going to be a point in the Antichrist's life where everything about him is taken over by the demonic. He will be possessed like no one has ever been possessed before on this planet, whether in Old Testament times or intertestamental times or New Testament times. He will be, this Antichrist will be full of the devil, full of Satan, full of demon possession. Will there be, Pastor, will there be one demon or a thousand? I don't know. Way above my pay grade. I'm just telling you, there's going to be a time that this Antichrist, he's on this path of becoming who he's going to be, and wham, it's going to happen. Right, he's going to be possessed. Does that make sense? Amen. Yes, yes. So that same grotesque description that we looked at in chapter 12, verse 3, is applied to the Antichrist. Now, the description of Antichrist emphasizes the importance of the ten horns by mentioning them first and associating the diadems with them instead of the heads. We said the horns 2 weeks ago, we said the horns referenced here in this context and in other places in the Bible symbolize strength and power both for attack and defense. So he's going to be something else. So specifically in this passage, the ten horns represent the great power of the kings who will rule under Antichrist's absolute authority. Ten fits the imagery of the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. Now, we're not going to read that tonight. You can take a note on that and look at that. But that's what's going on there. This symbolic number representing the number 10, representing all the world's political and military might. So Antichrist will rise from among these 10 per Daniel chapter 7, verses 16 through 24. Daniel 7 is an important chapter in the Bible when it comes to eschatology, when it comes to end time study, when it comes to what's going on during the tribulation. So that's a good chapter to get yourself acquainted with. Daniel 7, verses 16 through 24 talks about how the Antichrist will rise from among these 10 and will not rule merely 10 nations, but will rule the entire world. So What about the seven heads? And that's where we ended 2 weeks ago. What about these seven heads? Well, we have covered these when we covered the dragon or Satan. The seven heads represent successive world empires, okay? The seven heads, right? Make a note on that. Keep that in your mind. That's what that means, seven heads. Now, whereas when we speak of the ten horns, all of the rulers symbolized by the ten horns will rule at the same time per Revelation 17, verse 12, right? And then who rules the ten horns? The Antichrist. And who's over the Antichrist? Satan. So you kind of see the hierarchy going on here, right? Daniel described this final political empire of nations headed by the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 44. Again, we're referencing the book of Daniel. It's very, very important when we talk about what's going on in end time. So 2, 41 through 44, Daniel chapter 2. So what then is this final world empire? This final world empire will be, in some sense, a revival of the Roman Empire. Now, where are you getting that from? I'm getting that from the iron legs and the ten toes of the statue in Daniel chapter 2. That's where that's coming out of. But this revived Roman Empire will far exceed any Roman Empire in the past, both in power and in extent, right? Now, today, many of these end time theologians, if that's all they do is study end time eschatology, the last days, the tribulation, I mean, they just pour their life into it. Today, many end time prognosticators believe that we are seeing here in our own time this revival of the ancient Roman Empire. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, for many, their perception is that the Roman Empire was never really defeated. It just kind of dissolved into separate kingdoms. And then here in the tribulation, it's going to come back together. There have been many attempts to revive the old empire down through the centuries. And these scholars point out Charlemagne tried to bring the kingdoms together. They talk about how Napoleon tried to bring the kingdoms together. You'll remember World War II. Who was it? Hitler. He tried to bring the kingdoms together. And they all failed. Now, apparently, per the Word of God and conservative interpretation, the Roman Empire will be revived again. And when it is revived, it'll be revived by Antichrist. He'll be the one who ultimately revives it and gives it that dynamic, extroverted, people will just hang on his every word kind of a deal. He will give it the emotion. He will give what that thing needs to bring it all together. I mean, people be asking themselves, well, why would we not? Why would we not unite? Why would we not come together? Why would we not be a part of this this one world order? I mean, why would we not? I mean, look at this guy. I mean, listen to him. He's got all the answers. Everything he touches turns to gold. I mean, why would we not go with this guy? So he's going to be kind of the spark to that. Now, we're already seeing this process lay the groundwork for the tribulation in the continuation of the commerce and currency and trade and regulatory system of the European Union. Has everybody heard of that European Union? The European Union, right? You watch the news, European Union. Okay, now, the Union is comprised of 27 European nations. Used to be 28, right? Why is there only 27? Back around, I don't know, what was it, 2016? 2017? Great Britain said, what? We're going to Brexit. We're going to break from the European Union. And so they voted as a country to leave the European Union. Now, it didn't become official until January 1st of 2020 that they were out. So it took that long after the vote of the people to get out of it. Some think that the land area occupied by these nations covers much of the land area occupied by the old Roman Empire, if you study your history. They believe that the world will see this geographical area produce the Antichrist and provide the 10 kings who will rule the world at the beginning of the tribulation period. So, this revived Roman Empire, though the new one, it's going to have a whole lot more teeth and a whole lot more bite than the European Confederacy today. Now, the European Confederacy today has got some teeth and it's got some bite, but not like this one coming. This one coming during the time of the tribulation is going to be entirely different. Now, the question is, are we as Christians, are we worried? No. Are you worried? Are we worried? Should we worry? Well, preacher, first of all, if we're the church, we are to be raptured out of here. Yeah, that's great. That's right. But when we study our end times and we ask the question, are we worried? And we talk about, you know, we have to go through this where we see the devil and we see his unholy trinity and we see them in all their unholiness and all their ugliness and all their evilness, and we see it, and we recoil from that as believers and as Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, and we wonder, man, the world is in for it, and golly, it's going to be awful. But are we worried? No. The answer is an emphatic no. Why are we not worried? We're not worried because this revived empire doesn't last long. I mean, it doesn't last long. Ultimately, when we get to the end of the book of Revelation, Antichrist's empire will be crushed by Christ as prophesied by Daniel chapter 2, verses 34, and Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, when Christ comes to establish his earthly kingdom. Now, if you don't believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, if you don't believe what Revelation teaches, then you might be worried. But if you believe your Bible, what your Bible says about end time last day prophecy, that there's going to be a second advent of Jesus, then you really don't have anything to worry about. Amen? Don't have anything to worry about, right? In addition to his 10 horns, the 10 horns represent what? The 10 kings that he's going to rule, right? They're going to rule the world. He's going to rule them, right? So in addition to his 10 horns, the beast is described by John as having 7 heads. And these descriptions are more than just a resemblance because of possession. As will be seen later in Revelation chapter 17, later in our series of Bible studies, those 7 heads represent 7 successive world empires. Let's go through them. You got number 1, Egypt. Then number 2, you have Assyria. Then number 3, you have Babylon. Then number 4, you have Medo-Persia. 5, you have Greece. 6, you have the Roman Empire. And 7, you have Antichrist's final world kingdom. So then we come to, in our passage, and the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Right. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems. And on his heads were blasphemous names. So what about the 10 diadems? We're talking about royal crowns, which indicate the horn's regal authority and victorious power. So there will be a season, there will be a time when he is the bomb diggity, the Antichrist is the everything, he's the answer, he's got the answer. So the question is, John also noted that on the beast's heads were blasphemous names. So, stay with me so far. 10 horns represents the 10 kings. The 7 what? Heads represents the successive world empires, and then you got the 10 diadems, his regal authority and power, and then we come to the blasphemous names. How does that, the blasphemous names, relate to how he operates? Well, many of the Roman emperors of yesteryear, many of the Roman emperors and other monarchs before them, these rulers will blasphemously self-title themselves as divine beings, right? I mean, what Caesar didn't get to the point of thinking he was divine? What Egyptian pharaoh didn't get to the point where he thought he was God? What Babylonian or Assyrian ruler, king, didn't get to the point where they thought they were the incarnate God? I mean, so like many of the Roman emperors and other monarchs before them, these rulers will blasphemously self-title themselves divine names and titles so that their very titles will dishonor the true and living God. So the subordinate heads to the Antichrist of this final world empire will follow the pattern of their master Antichrist. So the 10 kings are going to follow the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to follow Satan. And then everybody, I guess, that's got the mark of the what? Follows them, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. We've already referenced it a couple weeks back. But 2 Thessalonians 2, 4 says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God." So what have we revealed thus far about this description of this beast, this Antichrist? What have we revealed? To understand the description given of this beast in these verses, you really have to be comfortable with the book of Daniel, specifically chapter 7, and several verses in this chapter. For example, verses 3 through 8. Now, I'll get you to turn there because we really need to try to finish this section so far. So, Daniel chapter 7, and we'll look at verses 3 through 8. Daniel 7, 3 through 8. Now, I've given you many references about the book of Daniel, but here we really need to read these. Daniel 7, verses 3 through 8, have you found it? Yes, yes. Daniel 7, verse 3. Chapter 7, verse 3. "And four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, a human. Mind also was given to it." Verse 5. "And behold, another beast, a second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, 'Arise, devour, much eat.' After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. When I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts." Now, in Daniel's vision, he describes the great world empires that will follow one another, that will follow one after another until the end of the world. Daniel speaks of a lion in verse 4. This best pictures the Babylonian Empire. Like a lion, ancient Babylon was powerful, fearsome, and had a ravenous appetite for domination. The bear in verse 5 speaks of the Medo-Persian Empire like a bear. It possessed incredible power to crush its enemies. The leopard in verse 6 speaks of the Greek Empire. It is called a leopard because the Greeks were quick to dominate the world. The fourth beast in verse 7 is the Roman Empire with teeth of iron. They dominated the ancient world. Now, the Bible book, if you'll go back to Revelation chapter 13, the Bible book of Revelation in this passage is teaching us that the Antichrist will possess the power and the personality of all the ancient empires, okay? Of all the ancient empires. He will combine all of their strengths with none of their weaknesses. Look at verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So we finish with verse 2 as we try to comprehend how the Antichrist operates. And it's not easy. It's symbolic language. And we're going back trying to tie all the loose ends. And we're looking at current events in our own world. And it's a difficult challenge before us. But we finish with this verse 2 as we try to comprehend how the Antichrist operates. He's got a body like a leopard. His rise to power will be swift. I don't know if you've seen on the National Geographic or the Learning Channel or the Animal Planet. I love that channel, man. You see that, or the YouTubes. They show pictures of leopards, and leopards do what? They wait on the bank, and you know what they eat? You know what they eat? They say cats don't like to get wet. You know what leopards will eat? Leopards will eat crocodiles. Crocodiles. Leopard will pounce and kill a crocodile. They know right where to bite them, right behind the eyes. Leopard goes in, snatches that 3-4 foot long crocodile, immediately penetrates that soft tissue back there, hits the brain. The thing dies. There's no death roll. You know, the alligator, the crocodile, they like to do the death roll. They get a hold of you, and then they start rolling. There's none of that. And then the leopard just kind of takes it off and does what? Eats it, makes some boots. I don't know. I mean, he gets it, right? He'll have a body like a leopard. His rise to power will be swift. Feet like a bear. He will crush his opponents. Crush his opponents. Mouth like a lion. Like a lion, he will devour all who dare to stand in his way. And he's called a beast. He's called a beast. The word beast refers to not anything refined, not anything pretty, not anything beautiful. A beast refers to something that is a wild animal. It's a beast. The noun is used as a metaphor of a man who is brutal, who is savage, who is ferocious, right? Like a wild animal, Antichrist will attack the kingdoms of the world, and he will destroy all who get in his path. He will be a fearsome, powerful man. Going to be a man. Fearsome, powerful man. Now, questions, anybody? Anybody? It's deep. It's deep. And it's deep for summer, but we've got to get back through it. We've got to catch back up. Amen, amen? It's just the first two verses of chapter 13. We introduced chapter 13, verse 1, 2 weeks ago. And so now we finished up the first two verses of chapter 13. So, main thing to remember, right? 10 horns represent 10 kings, right? 7 heads represent successive world empires, right? The 10 diadems represent regal authority and power and all that, right? And then we've looked at what the different animals represent and how they're tied to the book of Daniel, okay? So, the other great book of eschatology in the Bible is Daniel. So, it's neat to see how the Apostle John is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how he ties both of those things together. Amen? All right. Let's close it with prayer, shall we? All right. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we thank you again. We're thankful for the opportunity to study in your word, and thankful, Lord, that we can break the bread of life. We do pray for those that need to make decisions for you, Lord, and receive you as their personal Savior and Lord. Father God, as we seek to know all of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, I pray, God, that the study tonight will undergird us and help us, and Lord, just continue to keep us on a path of obedience and submission and a path of righteousness. Not that we're trying to earn our salvation, but Lord, because we are saved. Thank you for all that you do for us, God, and how you bless us and how you take care of us. And Lord, we pray that these prayer requests that we've lifted up to you this evening, that we would keep these to heart and that we would continually lift these things up as we go through the week. Thank you that we were able to bear one another's burdens and celebrate one another's praises. What a blessing that was this evening. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed.